So this is going to be a continuation from last week's message. I'm not turning this into a series. I was just going to do that and I was going to move on. But that was so powerful and I got so many responses from that. But not just from people, but from God himself. I want to talk about what God showed me. And I want to start with a praise report. So I shared with you the whole experience, the train. I'm not going to go through it again. You'll have to listen to last week if you didn't hear it. That whole vision and just how it messed me up really, really, really bad. I mean, it really had me just shaking for a while. So been on my heart and I'm saying, okay, and I told you, don't go out there trying to be something, but let God lead you. Well, he'll lead you. So I'm hanging with a friend of mine, somebody who was instrumental in me getting out here and helping me, And his life and his flow, no names, he's street, he deals, wheeling and dealing. He's not a dealer, but he wheels and deals. And all his connections are strippers, prostitutes, drug dealers, he street element. This is his flow. And we got a chance to talk. And I'm saying, well, God, how do I witness to him? How do I witness to him? And God was like, just chill. We hung out, we spent some time together, and great guy. I love hanging out with him. Always very respectful to me. And he said to me, I said to him, I told him about my dream. And I told him, I was concerned for him. I was concerned for his walk, his life. And, I got a little emotional, but I told him about the dream and how it really messed me up. And I said, he said, well, I know I love God. I believe in God, I don't try to push what I believe on other people, And I said, dude, you acting like you have time. I'm telling you, in this vision, one moment I was in the sunshine, next moment I was in the pit of hell. And I said, and you seem to think that these people you love and care about and yourself got time. Like, you can walk outside tomorrow. You can wake up or just not wake up. You can get out the bed and drop dead. You really acting like you have a lot of time. And I want to tell you, brother, that you don't. And he can see my heart and my compassion. I wasn't preaching at him or trying to. And he stopped me, got real serious. And he looked at me and he said, we all know who you are. We know what you represent. And all my people love you. Like, they know you're a pastor. He said, could I tell them? So I tell them, when they're around, you chill, a little bit. But he said, you one of us. You chill, you hang, You don't make us feel condemned or guilty. It's just something about you. Like, we look at you like if we want to ever be a Christian, or if there's a possibility, you are to us like the example of that. Wow. So we kept talking. The bottom line is, I said, what about we do a Bible study? And I said, we don't have to call it that. Let's just call it a prayer meeting. He was like, yeah. Oh, we would love that. And so look at Jesus. I'm going to have a prayer meeting full of strippers, hookers, hustlers, and dealers, starting right out here in Florida. Somebody, y'all can give God praise for that. God is an awesome God if you let him use you. And I'm looking forward to having a room full of non-Christian believers, but people that's coming straight from the strip club, come on down to the Bible meeting. Let's talk. Bring some of your clients with you. Let's just sit down. Let's pray. And let's talk about God together, since you're loved the way I represent him so well, and I don't make you feel guilty and shame and all that. And I'm like, wow. And as I said, what if we had a Bible study? He was like, oh my God, I was just about to say that. And he's one of the leaders. That's why I'm wearing my Superman today. Because I feel like Superman right now. I feel, God, you sent me to Florida for a reason. I know you did. And he's revealing that reason. wave a hand at me if that blesses you. That just, God is awesome, man. It's awesome. So I want to finish up, and I know, Dr. Wise, I know your camera's off, but I know you shouting right there in the car. I know you are. I can feel it. I'm ready. I'm ready. I woke up this morning after that conversation feeling like, yeah, purpose. Purpose, baby. Definition. What are you here for? Why are you here? So I want to go back to what we read. I want to finish up this part of the chapter that God wants me to share with you. And may not be a long message today, but hopefully encouraging to you. I'm hoping the story I shared with you is exciting, is important. This is Florida, you know, this is Miami. This is where it all goes down, you know? And if God wants me here to do his work here, man, oh man, oh man, you know, I'm excited about it. And I hope you're as excited as I am, because this is the place, man. For me, this is where I am right now. This is my season. My question before I start reading is, what's your season? Where are you? And are you allowing God to use you where you are, even right now? You know, I want to just kind of deviate for a minute. I'm going to talk about Jeff's story, you know, and he had to pull up, you know, this whole thing with the job, and he had to do this paperwork and all of this because of this whole COVID thing. And Jeff, you said something that spoke to me, little bro. You said you were the only one that got approved. Everybody else got rejected. All the other Christians, and I'm not saying that to say they're not. I'm just saying what I'm trying to say, little bro, is representation, right? What you represented and what you wrote represented the kingdom. What they wrote represented, this is my right, it's my privilege. You don't have a right to tell me what to do. And right away, the world could see you don't represent the kingdom. You represent yourself. You represent some kind of spiritual entitlement. You represent the Christianity that don't save souls. You represent the Christianity that preaches at people and tell them how wrong they are, or tell them how good you are because you got Jesus. But you don't represent souls. You don't represent life's loss. You don't represent a care. I'm sure as they read your thing, little bro, people probably was being ministered to. They were being spoken to. It has scripture in there. You talked about God. You talked about the way God is using you, and the way you want to be used by God in your stand. And these things made people go, It may have been some backslidden Christian on that panel reading that going, wow, wow. I need to be more sincere about my walk. Where's my faith? I guess I ain't standing like I should. So I commend you for seeking the Lord in your approach, and that approach ministering to people that they said that even the other believers, quote unquote, came to you and said, well, why did yours get accepted? Because I have upheld the glory of God, not my right to be anything. Oh, come on, somebody, you know, what I'm sharing is powerful right here. Our walk and our purpose is to uphold the glory of God. And when this brother started speaking to me, he started telling me, yo, you know the rap lyrics? We start rapping and you rap right along with me, and we start spitting out some Jay-Z lyrics and you know them. And yo, like, you don't make us feel like, you know, we out of place and out of line. If I slip and cuss in front of you, you don't look at me like, don't do that. I'm like, come on, man. Like, what do you think? My ears are fragile? What do you think I am, man? I'm from the street, dude. I understand the language. I understand it's just the way you're expressing yourself. I don't think you're trying to be vulgar and obnoxious to me. To the point that that witness witnessed without me having to throw Jesus all up in people's face. It's a conversation that you have when you don't open your mouth. It's a statement that's being made and your lips are not moving. And this is what this season and this message is about. So I'm going to run over what we went through last week quickly, and then I'm going to cover where God led me to today, and then we're going to say amen. And I am believing in Jesus' name that you will be blessed. And Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share your word. You really got me. You really have me in this time at a very deep back in the word season. And it's been a blessing to me. And I thank you that you continue to shine through all of us, that people see our light and they see our Christ before we open our mouths. I'm believing this day and time that we have come to that place, that we are that people. We are not just average Christians believing you for a raise and believing you for an increase and believing for you for an apartment and believing you for a new car, but we are powerhouses walking through the street, our shadow hitting people, healing them. We're believing for that kind of level of anointing. We're believing for that kind of level of spiritual sensitivity, and even in ourselves, looking for a better way to represent you. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, those who believe that said, amen. Okay, so here we go. I'm back in Psalms 51. And just for a question, do you hear the white noise behind me or no? Is it quiet? It's quiet? Excellent, I'm looking at roof here. But that keeps the sounds of the hallway out when people walk by. All right, here we go. Psalms 51, starting at verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to the multitude of your tender mercies and loving kindness. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly and repeatedly. I love that. Wash me thoroughly and repeatedly. Don't tell me God healed you and God delivered you, so thereby you delivered and you don't need it anymore. Oh, no, you need it repeatedly and continually. Wash me thoroughly and repeatedly from my iniquity and guilt, and cleanse me and make me wholly pure from my sins. For I am conscious of my transgressions and I acknowledge them. This is how we heal, babies. My sin is ever before me. I went over that last week. I'll just be brief. God ain't holding your sin before you, but you, when you're in it, it's before you. And it gets between you and God when you try to seek God. He said, if your heart condemns you not, you have peace before the Father. So that sin before me keeps me uncomfortable before God. Against you, you only have I sinned and done that which is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and faultless in your judgment. Now, I just want to reiterate this one, but take it to a different level. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this which is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and faultless in your judgment. I want to talk about this a little bit, and I want you to pay close attention to me. When we fail, when we falter, when we do something wrong, my thought, and I'm sure your thought can be as well, is how do I make it right with the person? How do I straighten it out? I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. I shouldn't have done that. I wonder what they think of me now. They're probably going to look at me funny. They probably don't like me right now. Who bears witness what I'm saying? Let me see your hand. You know, like, yeah, I'm always concerned like how they feel. But the scripture here, he says, God, against you and you only have I sinned. See, get right with God. God can straighten it out with the people. Don't spend all your time trying to convince everybody you're sorry. That's not the key. If you right before God, God will vindicate you before people. And if you're not right before God, and if you're still concerned about your image and how you look and how people see you and what they think about you, and maybe they're going to be judging me like this now, and then all that is your focus and your motivation, then you're not ready for cleansing because you're concerned about people. He said, against you and you only have I sinned. Now, this is important that David is saying this. Before you and against you only have I sinned. No. He slept with Bathsheba. He got her pregnant. He had her husband killed. All of this he did. It's not just against God and God only. He killed a man. It was against the people who looked up to him as king, knowing that he did this. No, it wasn't just against God and God only. But yes, he's correct. Your sin was against the Lord. And the people it affected them, but it's against him and him only. He's the only one who can redeem you. He's the only one that can forgive you. He's the only one that can make things right again. I don't care how many people forgive you, you can still go to hell. Against you and you only. Just take a minute and just take that into your spirit. It's against God and God only that you sin. It's against God and God only, not the people. Amen? Yes, you should repent to people. Yes, you should apologize. But before you do, go before the throne first and make sure you made it right with Daddy, because it's against him and him only that you've sinned. Behold, I was brought forth in the state of iniquity. My mother was sinful who conceived me, so I too am sinful. I kind of laughed when I read that the first time, and I read it again. I like, you're trying to put it off on your mother now? You did this, bro. Like, you know, oh, what you did, whatever you was born in, your mama didn't do this. You did this. You killed Uriah. You slept with Bathsheba. You did this. We understand you was born in sin, but we make our own choices. Okay. But that's just a side note. That's not the point. But then he went on to say this, and this is the thing that's powerful. Behold, you desire truth in the inner being. Make me therefore to know wisdom in my innermost heart. You desire truth in the inner man, in the inner being. Make me to know truth in my inner heart. You desire truth in the inner man. Make me to know truth. Make me to know truth. Somebody say, make me, Lord, to know truth in my inner man. What is he saying? Not just to have heard it, not to just give mental assent to it, but yada, make me to yada. Remember that? Make me to intimately know. Make me to have a marital type intimacy with truth. Make me to know truth inside myself. It doesn't make a difference what's going on in the world around me and how everybody else agrees or don't agree, how people put me down or shame me. Doesn't matter. Make me to know your truth. Know it intimately in my inner man. Purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean ceremonially. Wash me, and I shall be in reality whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, and be satisfied. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. He didn't physically break his bone, but that's how he felt. Here's where I want to go today. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my guilt and iniquities. He said, God, look away from them. But he promised that as far as your sin is the east is from the west, so far I will remove your sins from you. He's saying, I will move it from, in his opinion, away from you. And so he's saying, hide your face from me. Block out my iniquities. Let me say this to you. We all come short and we fall. Hopefully not intentionally, but we do. He's saying, when I do, God, look away from it. Against you and you only have I done this. You look away from it. You blot it out. There's people on the earth that may never forgive you. But if you receive his forgiveness, because you have truth in your real heart, not just, I'm sorry for what I did, guilt stuff, that's not it. It's God's redemption from it. This is describing salvation. Well, let me not jump ahead of myself. Thank you, Lord. Let me finish. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my guilt and iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right, persevering and steadfast spirit in me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your spirit, your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Let's talk about this. From that point on, he's describing what Jesus came to do. This is the definition of being born again and in Christ even before it came. What is he saying? Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. The Holy Spirit, as we know it, didn't show up until the day of Pentecost. So what is he talking about? God gave him a prophetic understanding of what was about to be done. Look at this. Pay close attention to this. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my guilt and my iniquities. Isn't that what Jesus did? Create in me a clean heart and renew a right, persevering, and steadfast spirit in me. Change my spirit. Isn't that what Jesus did? Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Don't cast me into darkness, but draw me close to you. Draw me through the throne. Is this not what Jesus came to do? Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Watch this. This is the call to salvation. This is the call to what Jesus came for. Now, I want you to really, really, really see this because this is powerful. Deliver me from blood, guiltiness, and death. There it is. Oh God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness, and your justice. This is your responsibility now because he did this for you, that your tongue should sing aloud. And he said, oh Lord, open my lips and my mouth and show forth your praise. For you delight not in sacrifice, or else I would give it. You find no pleasure in offerings. He is talking about from this point, God, if you deliver me and you cleanse me and you show me salvation and you take away from me the guilt of the sin that I've submitted or committed my life to, if you do this, I will tell transgressors your way. I will sing of your praise. I will let people know of your goodness. Saints, this is where I want to bring this home today. All the stuff he's asking for has been done for us. Everything he's crying out for right now, Jesus did. He did it on the cross. He cleansed you from your unrighteousness. He sanctified you. He gave you his Holy Spirit. He made it where you could call him Abba Father. This is powerful. But what do we do in return for that? Live Christian lives, quote unquote, go to church on Sunday. I give my little offerings. I go to church every Sunday. I don't cuss no more. I don't even watch movies with cusses in it, which is kind of hard nowadays. Good luck with that. But you know, that's the real thing, right? This is we're good. And he says it right here. You've never been concerned with these sacrifices. You've never been concerned with these burnt offerings. I don't cuss, I don't drink, I don't this. He said, I don't care about that. You want a clean heart. You want a sanctified spirit. You want me to be renewed and love and appreciate your salvation to the point that I just want to teach sinners your way. I just want to share your revelation with anybody who will hear me. I just want to tell people and sing praises of your goodness everywhere I go. Are you listening to me right now up in here? This is what it's about. This is what salvation is about. This is what that goodness is about. This is why he did what he did, so that we can then go and share that beauty with somebody else. I'm telling you, I'm getting a whole different understanding of this. He said, Lord, open my lips in verse 16, and my mouth you sing forth your praise. For you delight not in sacrifice, or else I would give it. Yeah, he realizes that now. He's taking a man's life. My sacrifice, the sacrifice acceptable to God, is a broken spirit and a contrite heart, a broke down and sorrowful with sin and humbly and thoroughly repenting. Such, oh God, you will not despise. You won't despise a real broken spirit. Let he who thinks he stands takes heed lest he falls. God desires truth in the innermost heart, and that's what I want to be. I want to be truth in my innermost heart. I want to know truth in it. I'm still learning. Got a lot to learn. We all do, but we're getting better as we keep seeking him. And I'm not trying to put anybody on no trips. I'm not saying now you need to go out tomorrow and you need to go rescue all the prostitutes and stuff. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm telling you, I sought the Lord, and that's what he put on me to do. He gave me the opportunity to do that. This is something that's coming my way, and I want you to pray for that. I want you to hold me down in that, because I want to have the right words. I want to have the right heart. I want to have the right, we're going to pray that you don't get tempted when you're out here. Take that to some weak behind Christian that got to worry about all that. You can pray for that if you want. No, pray that I have the words that I can speak to them so that they're not that anymore. Not God protect me from it and don't let no spirits get on me. Again, this is baby Christian stuff. This is baby Christian stuff. We need to be to the place that we affect them, not worry about them affecting us. That we're changing them, not worry about them changing us. That we're influencing their life. And after listening to the conversation, oh, they love you, man. Hey, everybody likes you, man. Everybody loves you, man. They're just like, you're so down. They always say, yo, he's so down to earth. He's a pastor. Wow, he's so down to earth, man. We really like him, man. He's like, we feel comfortable around him, you know? And it's like, wow, what opportunity then for me to minister. I didn't know what half of these people did. I didn't know what they do for a living. I didn't walk up to them and say, so what you do? I asked them, we just there. But, you know, I know now. And I'm like, I don't see him no different. I don't see him no different. One of the females said, you told him what I do? Yeah. You know, when he saw me, he didn't act any different. He was the same way. You know, he's a cool N-word. That's the way he is, you know? He said, wow. You told him what I did? And he was like, yo, he was good with me. Yeah. That's how you get down. Yeah. We're going to have Bible study, and we're going to have the opportunity. Well, I'm not calling it Bible study again. Prayer meeting. Let me stop saying Bible study. Prayer meeting. You know I'm getting Bible up in there. But, you know, just prayer meeting, everybody comes. You say Bible study, people are like, I don't know. My family is Hindu, and we don't know. Prayer meeting, everybody come for prayer meeting. If we praying, let's go for prayer meeting. So I got to make sure I say prayer meeting. But you know what my foundation is and where it's going. God is going to use us in this season if we let him. And in powerful ways, it's going to be huge. It's going to be big. I'm excited for all of us. I'm Superman today. I feel like Superman. I know Batman is my dude, but today I got superpowers. You know, I don't just have gadgets. I got superpowers. I feel like I can run through a troop and leap over a wall today. I feel like this is time for all of us. I'm excited about the season for us all. Please begin to claim the season for us all. We have this power. God has called us. So I'm going to pray before we close up. Father, I pray, and you can pray with me. Just let us understand what witnessing is. And it's not shouting people down or guilting people or trying to make people feel bad. It's about us showing the love of God in such a way, walking in the love of God in such a way, not just in words, you know, but really walking in the love of God in a way that is not even me doing it, it's you showing through me. The love coming out that when I don't even realize it, I just think I'm being a regular everyday dude. And Lord, I thank you today for that. And I thank you for the victory. And I thank you that you hold me up in your hand and you keep me. You lift me up as I dash my foot against a stone. This is you, God. This is what you do. This is what you do for all of us. And we thank you for the victory. We praise you for the victory. It'll be easy for us. You'll begin to show us who we are ministering to, even when we don't know it. And you'll use us, and you'll use us to your glory. And we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.